What a blessing it is just to be alive and to be here. After coming home from a mission, the government wrote to me. They said they understood I'd been a good missionary, and they wondered if I wouldn't be interested in becoming a soldier for 2 years. And they made me an offer, which I could not refuse. And so, for 2 years, I had the glorious privilege of being a soldier in the Army. And I might add that in just 2 years, with some really good breaks, plus using my talent to the very fullest, I was able to rise to the rank of private first class. And I merely mention that not to boast, but because it's a part of something that happened to me in Korea. I labored there for a year in that land which came to be as dear to me as the land of my mission. It's a blessing to go in the Army. The draft is no longer there, but what a blessing it was to have that thrust upon you. Many things in life that come upon you that you don't want to come upon you turn out to be among the most glorious of all your experiences. And I'm not recommending you volunteer, but it's a joy to serve the country. It's a great country, and it's a joy to serve the church. And I used to work in a service station, and it was just a joy to serve the public. I think I could be happy in a service station again. I wasn't too good on grease jobs, but I was great on windshields. So the name service station appeals to me. I think it's captured one of the best of all names. And as I was in Korea, I came to love the people there. And I, along with them, my language talents didn't carry over from England to Korea. And so I had to come to a middle language, which we shared with them, they not being able to speak English and we not Korean, and therefore we had a middle language whereby we would speak a funny language. Like if I had a real good Jeep and it was running real smooth and it was clean, I would say to my Korean colleague, "This, a number one Jeep." And he'd say, "Ah, number one." And if it was sputting and sputtering and not performing at all well, he might say, "Number 10." And I would say, "Ah, number 10. And so we had a scale on which we ranked things. We ranked Jeeps and men and all sorts of things. And if you were number one, then that was the best. And as we spoke to them in this way and as we worked with them, they used to come onto our compound or our army camp to do work which we didn't like to do and which they'd enjoyed doing because they got paid for it. And they would come and do this work, and so it worked out well all the way around. And when they'd come onto our army post in the morning, we didn't have sidewalks, we only had paths upon which we went from one building to another. And as we went down these paths, they often became narrow and they were made of dirt. And just off the path were the grass and the weeds and the rocks. And often as you approached someone coming the other direction, someone had to get off the sidewalk or off the path. And as I had been there a few weeks, I observed that the Koreans were the ones who got off the path. And the American soldiers walked by on the path. And it occurred to me that that was backwards. It seemed to me that this being the land of Korea should be a land in which they went down the path and we, the Americans, got off the path. And so I made it a practice to do that. It was only a little thing, but I felt good in doing it. And I had to be quick to get off the path because if I wasn't, the Koreans would get off before I had a chance. And so I would jump off as I saw them approaching. And when they saw me off the path, as they passed by, I would say, "Yobaseo," or "Annyeonghaseyo," both of which I was told were very warm greetings. And as I said those things, they would look over at me and say that back to me. And then as they walked down the path, if they were more than one, they would look at each other and talk. And then they would look back at me and they would smile. And they seemed to be impressed. Now the land of Korea had just been, had taken to it Christianity. And sometimes these good people became confused between what the Bible said and the way the Christian soldiers conducted themselves. And so it was. And after having been there in that land for nearly a year, I went to dinner one night and I was the last one to get to dinner. And in the army, you stand in the line to get to dinner. And that was a long line. And I was the last man to get in the line. And when you're the last man to get in the line, there's no use standing in the line. I mean, you just as well get out of the line and go do something else until the line goes down. And so I got out of the line and I joined five of my friends seated around a table eating. And as they were around the table eating, they were talking vigorously, and I joined in their conversation, waiting to go when the line went down through the area where I could get my food and thus serve myself. Now, I had mentioned that I was a private first class. Had I been a corporal, then a Korean waiter would have gone through the line and got the food, much as would happen in a cafe. But that didn't happen to me because I was a private first class, and as I waited for the line to go down, I was talking to my friends, not aware of what was going on around me, and then suddenly I felt someone standing at my side. And we interrupted our conversation, and I looked up, and there was a Korean man about 30 years old who was working in the mess hall as a waiter. And he had a lovely tray of food, and he was about to put it before me. And I put my hand on his wrist so as to be able to stop him, and as I did so, and while my eyes were upon him and the eyes of all five of my companions were firmly fixed upon him and all was silent, he proceeded to push the food forward, and then he said to me as he looked down at me, "I serve you. You, a number one Christian." And I said, nothing. And I'll always hear those words, which was the greatest compliment that's ever been paid to me. "I serve you. You, a number one Christian." Oh, how I'd like to be that. I think that became one of my goals, just to see if I could become a number one Christian. Now, this man in Korea had supposed that getting off the path was what makes a Christian. And you know, he wasn't far from being right. But there's another side to that coin, because it isn't enough just to get off paths and be a social do-gooder. Because there's something more to it than that. Even though if you leave the great social gospel off to the side, then you'll never qualify as a number one Christian. But Christ, although he taught the fact of how we should relate to our fellow men, didn't come to teach that. That was, I think, out on the perimeter of what he came to teach. The thing he came to teach, and the thing in which he dealt, and the thing which he came to offer, was cleanliness. He came to make it possible for men and women to become clean. And therefore, I suggest that those who sit here, the ones who are closest to being number one Christians, are those who come closest to being clean and pure. Those who have taken advantage of the great law of mercy which Christ came to author, and who have repented of their sins. And that's what Christ came to do. And when that happens to you, then you qualify, at least on one side of the coin, as a number one quick Christian. And it doesn't matter how much social do-gooding you do if you still live in your sins, because there are some who say that Christ came only to teach how we should relate to our fellow men, and he came to teach us how to get rid of our sins, and that's the purpose of why he came. And I stand on my feet and boldly testify he came to do that. And unless we take advantage of that, then we are not taking advantage of what Christ came to offer, and thus we're far from number one Christians, no matter how many shirts we give other people and how many things we give to other people and how many services we render, because personally we must have the thrill of being clean. And I don't care what else you could ever say about yourself, the greatest thing you could ever say is simply the fact that I'm clean. And nobody else is ever going to be able to make that proclamation for you, because that's personal and you're the only one who knows.